If it's happening in sports in Saskatchewan, we've got it covered. The all-new Sports Cage. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll-free 1-866-767-0620. On your radio at 620 CKRM and online at sportscage.com.
This is the Friday Sports Cage for Nelson Home, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Brennan McGuire, Derek Bidwell, Colson Schultz. Very pleased to be joined in studio by Leo McDonald, who just checked out the fancy new coffee machine down the hall.
That's awesome.
I was outside. I had to plug the meter. Had a big argument with the parking Nazi. Wanted to give me a ticket before I got there.
He's up there already?
Yeah. They don't.
Yeah, they don't mess around, hey?
They will check the time on that meter, and they will timestamp it, and they will come back to the minute, and they will stand there, and they will watch to see if that meter has expired.
And, you know, you look at the street right now, there's three cars out there. There's lots of room.
Well, they've got quotas they got to hit. So if it's my car and two others, my odds aren't very good that I'm going to get away with.
So they get a bonus? Is that what you're saying? Quota?
I think so.
Really?
There's got to be something in there.
Is that an urban legend or?
Maybe they just keep their job.
Well, what would be their incentive to work? What would be the incentive if you don't have
you're not handing out tickets, bringing in money?
Yeah. Get out there.
Hourly wage.
If I had a parking meter attendant and you don't bring me some money, you're going to be on the chopping block.
Well, yeah. I guess that's probably a point as well, eh? Performance.
Cutthroat business. Like pro hockey and junior hockey and baseball and all the other stuff
sports,
that you do.
Yeah.
Hey, what is your title with the Portland Winterhawks?
My title?
Yes.
Well, I guess...
King of the East. King of the Prairies.
My job is I'm the professional scout for the Eastern Conference.
Okay. So I asked this question. We had Les Lazarek and James Gallo on earlier, and I put them on the spot. Who would you rather play in the finals, Portland or Prince George? And predictably, they both wimped out.
Did they?
Didn't want to give Leo any bulletin board material that he could take to Mike Johnson and the Portland Winterhawks. Are you more focused on this series? Like, is your role like an advanced scout? Are you...
No, actually,
you Mike's know, right, eyes on the Eastern Series?
A little bit. Okay. You know, and honestly, it's my major role with the organization is for trades and deals. So I'm supposed to know the players, out east in particular. And, you know, when a player comes on the wire, they'll ask me what I think, how's he going to fit, you know, what's his style like, what's he do, tendencies, etc. So then I'll make that comment and they'll push the buttons and go from there. So I've got the best gig ever. Like, my travel is minimal. I'm not like Ross Mahoney or Balmy and those guys, NHL scouts that are traveling 250 days of the year in a hotel. And
ugh.
Yeah, I enjoy the scouting. I like the social aspect of it. I probably talk too much on the rink. But having what I feel is sort of a short-term immediate input to the game itself is a lot more fun than, you know, being a... And they're important, the Bantam scout. You know, U15 scout, but you don't see any results for 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my input, we're seeing results right away, and they better be good.
Okay, Leo, I've got a question for you now.
Sure.
Well, before we ask you about, you know, the series, of course, going on right now out here, out east, the first time two teams from Saskatchewan in 31 years have met in the Eastern Final, so an historic matchup, and also a very, very good one that has been decided a few times in extra time. Should be another big one in Saskatoon tonight. Game 5 just got an update. They are encroaching on 11,000 tickets sold for this game, for Game 5 in Saskatoon. It should be electric. I'll be heading there immediately after this show. But first, Leo, I wanted to, before we ask you about that in that series, I want to ask you, you mentioned about scouting and all this. Is there a player that you can say, oh, I saw him first? Oh, I was the one that knew everybody, or a player maybe that no one else believed in, but you knew he was going to turn into something. Is there somebody that comes to mind? Somebody that if you're sitting around the campfire maybe this summer in Saskatchewan and somebody asks you something like that, you got one for him. Is there one that comes to mind? Right,
well, you're kind of talking about my first impression is you know, like a U15 scout. You know, all the players I'm scouting, they're in the league already.
Okay.
And players and people, their scouts, I say organizations, know about these guys. The trick I have is to, you know, be on the same page as Mike and Gus over there in terms of the type of player we're looking for. you know, without saying a whole lot, you know, Portland Winterhawks, you know, we skate, we go east to west, and that's priority number one. You know, if you can't skate, well, you better have something else that's going to bring to the table for us that's going to fit.
And okay, no, maybe, but is there a player, though, that you, okay, maybe in a trade, you mentioned a guy that's already in the league. But
I was going to say, I think what you're asking is there somebody who Leo saw and said, he can really help us, and everybody else has been undervaluing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then when he came in and that trade happened, then you're like, aha, I told you he would turn into that guy. I told you, you know, in different environment, different coach, different system, something like that. Yeah,
exactly. And actually, there's several, and there's one that comes to my mind right away, and of course, being the scout, the super scout I am, I can't remember his name. He was here as a 16-year-old in Regina with the Pats. They let him go. And I'm telling you, is it Elders or something like that? The kid could just fly, but he had a late birthday in December. And I was telling the organization for about 2 years.
You know, I'm going to look this up
now. Yeah, please do.
Okay, you know, whenabouts was this?
When was it?
When, roughly?
About 6 years ago.
About 6 years ago? Okay,
six,
carry on.
Seven, and,
yeah, carry on.
He ended up in Lethbridge. Hopefully, as I speak, that the name will come out in my mind. But, you know, I really liked this kid. He had size, had speed. To me, he was a late bloomer. And I kept harping about the guy several times. And, well, sure enough, he ended up being a late NHL signing and had a great playoff. Pretty sure it was with Lethbridge. And it was kind of immediately after that that reinforced the importance of my role and reinforced, you know, what I was talking about to Mike and the organization, that so much so now that a few years after that, that Mike sat down with me and he said, you know what, you've identified this player, that player, Montgomery's another one, in Brandon, that, you know, as soon as you got something like that, I want more of a direct line from you. And that's what we have now. And I think it's paying off for us quite a bit.
Do you have a lot of parents that come up and try to sell their kid to you as well? They know who you are. They know your role, and they know that you're able to, you know, maybe, you know, get their son where they want him to be, or where they think he should be, or where he could really flourish. Do you ever have parents come up even and advocate, or do you go seek out the parents and try to figure out maybe a little bit more about what this player is like or what this kid is like personally, off the ice as well?
I should tell you the truth. No, I don't. I don't engage with parents a whole lot.
You're a smart man.
I don't want to.
Probably for the best.
I gather as much information as I can from, you know, other sources. I'll say it that way. And, you know, make the call of my own. So I'm going to sink or swim on my intuition, my call. You know, parents are great. Yeah, I'm a parent. You know, you could be a little bit biased in towards the individual. But, again, with my particular role, you know, Wong's parents are going to come up to me and say, you know, we'd like to go to Portland. That's not going to happen just because of the tampering aspect, and they probably don't know who I am anyway. But so my role is I'm a little bit more incognito that way. You know, I'm out there scouting, watching, talking to people in terms of scouts, not parents, and then sitting and waiting for that call.
So if that you're, email. Well, while you're scouting, because you can't talk to these kids,
because
they're not in your organization.
No.
And, you know, I
can't go to Jaeger or whoever. And
yeah, yeah.
So, hey.
Did Leo just tamper?
I like the way you play.
But I was just going to say, you know, I was whining a little bit earlier about the incompetency of the leadership of the Toronto Blue Jays, because I feel like they haven't taken the time to get to know their people the way the previous GM used to do. So that's my question to you. How do you get to know who these players are and how they would fit with Portland or anybody else if you can't even talk to them? That's a pretty important part of it.
Well, the biggest part is I'm watching their style of play. And I watch it for little things that sort of tell me about their character. And then, you know, I've got big ears. I'm listening around when I walk around the rink. I'm listening to a few comments here and there. I'll throw something out to an NHL scout, get some feedback there, and build my case that way. You know, I see these guys enough that, you know, I may target a guy, say, boy, I like this guy. The way he fits. He's 16 or 17-year-old in the league, maybe 18. How's he fit with this particular club? I could see, have an idea where this kid may pop, and I'll put that all that together in that little profile I create, and so when the call comes in, I can say, yeah, here's what I like about this kid, here's what I don't like, here's what I think his character is going to be like. We'll go from there.
Okay, Leo, I got to ask you about the matchup between the Moose Jaw Warriors and the Saskatoon Blades, as I mentioned before. 10,000-plus fans, close to 11. They're hoping to get to 11. We'll be in attendance in Saskatoon tonight for Game 5 between the Warriors and the Blades. The Warriors trying to take advantage, and the Blades as well, too. Right. I guess it's tied at 2, trying to be the one that wins a very pivotal Game 5. So just your thoughts on this series, the players that are involved. I'm sure you're more than very familiar with the talent that's on the ice for both these teams.
You know what? There's a couple of things I want to comment on. One, I think it's fantastic. Saskatoon's getting 11, 12,000 to a game. It's terrific. I love Saskatoon. Great hockey town. I'd like to see more support there. Moose Jaw as well. Beautiful rink in Moose Jaw. Two clubs that are so similar, like even size-wise. I watch these two teams, and they move east to west well. They skate. I think if I'm looking at an edge, well, you know what? I don't know if you want my call, because I thought Swift Current...
We want your call.
I thought Swift Current was going to be the team to watch out for. Tell the truth. They had size, they had some firepower, they had goaltending.
You thought they'd beat Moose Jaw?
I did. And Moose
Jaw... After that first game.
Game, you know, and I called it earlier, and I thought, oh, here we go.
I love this guy. He can admit when he's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
Yeah. Well, Moose Jaw went on to win 4 straight after that.
Right.
So
yeah.
I lost that bet.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so very little between these two clubs, and I'm not trying to be wishy-washy, but if I'm sitting here looking at it, I'm thinking, what's going to be the difference? I like Saskatoon's goaltending a little bit better. Both defenses are mobile, east and west, a little bit more size with Moose on the line. I think Matejczyk is the difference on the line. The way he's performing in playoffs, offensively putting numbers up, like, who's doing that? And then I still think the game-breaker is Savoy.
You know? The deadline pickup from...
The kid is...
What's that team called now? Wenatchee?
Yeah.
Anyways,
on. You know, and... But then I look at Sidorov, that kid.
He got the game winner on Wednesday.
Well, you know, Sidorov, I remember watching him about, 2 months ago. And he scored a... I was sitting with another Portland scout, actually, an NHL guy, and... We were talking about Sidorov, and I said, you know, the kid's got lots of skill. I think he's a Washington draft or pickup. And
he's from Belarus. I didn't know he had Belarusian.
Yeah, and you know, I really like the skill set, but I just thought he was stereotypical. Throw a little check on him, and he disappears.
Right.
And he scored a highlight reel goal. I thought, wow, you know, this kid's coming on. Took a hit, disappeared. So I'm thinking, okay, he's still got some time. And then about 3 weeks later, same thing. Highlight reel goal.
Right, okay.
A fantastic goal, took another hit, but that time it did make a difference. And he just kept rolling. So I think, you know, there's it's such a toss-up, but I'm going to give it an edge to Moose Jaw just because of the way Matejczyk is going and performing, and that dark horse, if you want to call it that, Savoy. The guy's just he's a knockout punch.
Absolutely. And you know, Moose Jaw is just, well, both teams are. I mean, you could talk both that are just loaded with so much talent, so deep.
They're both built to win right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yeah, you know, and Saskatoon can thank me because I was wrong last time.
So we'll see if that continues or not. You mentioned goaltending. Evan Gardner for the Saskatoon Blades. You said they might have a little bit of an advantage there. Evan Gardner has been playing very, very well for him. But you got to agree, Leo, the best nickname goes to Jackson Unger. They're calling him Jackson Ungertaker.
That's pretty good.
That is a good one. And they're saying that he's going to tombstone the Saskatoon Blades.
That one's kind of lame.
You got to love it. Yeah. I love the excitement around it.
Ungertaker's good, though.
Yeah, Undertaker's really good, actually. That's pretty clever.
People are into it, though. Let's be honest. In today's world, it's harder and harder all the time to get the secondary leagues. People interested and excited about it because the NHL, the NFL, all that stuff's in our face. And the talk around the water cooler, I've noticed even at my day job, has been more about this series than it's been about the Stanley Cup playoffs. Well, I can't remember that in a really long time, except when the Pats went deep.
Well, the thing I really like about that, you know, you mentioned it's two Saskatchewan teams. You know, I think that's great. I think that's fantastic. And it's even
31
better.
Years is a long time.
It is. It really is. And the other bonus part is, of course, I'm hoping for Portland to win. That means they're right backyard. I can go see, without flying anywhere, the finals out here, either in Moose Jaw or Saskatoon.
Either or.
Either or, right. So, yeah. So many perks to that. But you know what? You talk about the water cooler, you talk about the talent. Look at these two clubs. Look at the talent there, all these future NHL stars. There's a lot of talent there. And, you know, I think it's a missed opportunity for a lot of people. I'm glad 12,000 people, 11,000 are going to show up in Saskatoon. And it should continue that way because, you know, this is a chance. Like Bedard, for example, threw out a name. You had a chance to watch this kid for a couple of years for $30. Now it's going to cost you $300.
But, you know, before we break, because we are going to keep you for another segment, we're going to talk a little bit about the Red Sox and the Saskatoon Berries who are about to get started.
Yeah.
But I also just wanted to ask, the series is 2-1 Portland out west?
No, it's Prince George. Lost last night, so it's 3-2 for us.
Okay, 3-2 now.
Yeah, we had a chance, but...
3-2 Portland, and you could have finished it off. Sorry, my bad. How are you feeling about that series? Now it's got to go back to PG. It's 2-3-2, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So they got to win one on the road now.
Well, we split the first two.
In right, Prince they've done George. It before, but...
Yeah, we split there, then we came back and won, you know, 2 out of 3 at home. I think to roll 4 straight against Prince George would have been a phenomenal feat. But you're right, now we're going back into Prince George. We won game to win. Hopefully the boys pulled off. I'm sure they will. They've got great goaltending, coaching. It's all there, so, yeah, I'm biased, but... I want to see them down here.
You feel good about it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm pulling for your Winter Hawks in that series, but if they get to the finals, you're on your own.
Okay.
I got to add one more quick one to this. A lot of people may not realize this. Obviously, you know this, Leo, and you know this, BMAC, too, but a lot of people don't realize this unless they're listening maybe to the Sports Cage. They probably were maybe earlier in the week, but we were talking a little bit about, you know, why one of these two teams wanted to get it done and get it done early because of the distance between those two cities, right? So it's a... Is it a 15-hour bus ride? Is that right?
You know, I think you're right.
That's what Google says, but if Leo was driving, it would be like 12 or 13.
Well, it depends on the bus driver, but you know, it's a long haul. And I did notice, too, like when our first game, and even though you have a few days to get there, et cetera, you still get the bus legs, and it's an impact. And so you've really got to be aware of that. And I know the coaching staff will have the guys prepare for game 6, no question.
Big difference, too. If Saskatoon gets to the finals, they have home ice advantage. If Moose Jaw gets to the finals, they do not. The Western team has home ice advantage, so that'll be interesting. We'll kick it around.
That's a great point, though, in terms of the travel difference. You got Moose Jaw to Saskatoon, it's 2 hours, and we're traveling 15.
I feel like usually the teams out here on the prairies get the short end of the stick, not this time around. No, it worked out really, really well for them.
You're right.
We'll kick it around some more with Leo McDonald. You're listening to the Friday Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.
Don't miss a minute of the all-new Sports Cage. Podcasts are posted at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
And this segment of the Sports Cage is for Busy Bee Overhead Doors. Busy Bee will repair or replace your residential or commercial garage door so you don't get stuck in or out. Catch the buzz. Busy Bee Doors, the garage door specialists. Brendan McGuire, Derek Bidwell, Colson Schultz, and Leo McDonald with you on this Friday edition of the program. You had something to contribute?
I do. I'm an old guy. I just, you know, going back to the question, think about names. I do have a name for you. Adam Brooks.
Oh, from the Pats.
Yeah.
A few years ago when they had the Brooksy Bucks thing on the big screen. They had a promotion.
Oh, did they? Oh. Well, Adam Brooks.
You were too busy scouting and paying attention
Here's an example. I'll tell you the story real quick. He was sitting a lot as a 16, 17-year-old. He didn't play.
With Regina?
Yeah, with the Pats. Yeah, hardly saw the ice. I mean, I liked the kid. And there's a connection because I played a little bit of hockey with his dad.
Of course you did.
So anyway, make a long story short, word was that he wanted out of Regina. I don't know how I got that. So I let Portland know. I said, you want this kid. You know, jump all over this guy. Because, you know, lots of upside. John Paddock hadn't been hired yet. So all summer long, I'm throwing this talk and, you know, getting this out. Paddock came to Regina, in August? Just before the season started.
Yeah, it was kind of a late thing. Because didn't they fire Malcolm Cameron? And then new ownership, making big changes.
Because I was thinking, geez, you know, let's get a new coach here. Maybe he'll move this kid. But so that's kind of a... the name that came out of my mind. So.
And John Paddock figured out what he had, and yeah, the rest Paddock is history. Yeah, should have kept Paddock out of it, hey? That just destroyed it.
Should have ruined my plans. Yeah, Brooks turned out to be a pretty good player.
Okay, enough of that hockey nonsense. Baseball.
All right, yes. Mitch
is back with the Red Sox. He's going to be the GM and assistant coach. I shouldn't say is going to, already is. There's a ton of work that the general manager does. Rye Pathakis is going to be the coach. Are you going to be helping out with the 72-hour spring training that they have every year? I've seen you out there doing
I've been out there grounders. For a few years, but yeah, I was out there in the past, especially when Mitch and Jeff were coaching.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I would come out there and... hit the ball and hack around. It was awesome. Had a great time.
What do you... go ahead.
I was just going to say, Leo, I mean, I'm sure you could still do a little bit of... Could you throw a little BP, or could you help out with the grounders? Yeah, a little bit, all that? Yeah.
I still throw BP, actually, at Martin Academy. My arm is still there.
I think you've just been voluntold for the Red Sox, if they're listening. Yeah. Saskatoon's coming in the league, finally.
Love that.
The Berries.
And there's a lot of hype about the Berries. Mm-hmm. And I was playing hockey in North Battleford with a bunch of coworkers from Saskatoon a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how great the Berries were going to be. And I said, they haven't even played a game. How do you know that? But it seems like they've caught... some energy there, and Bidzy can speak more to that. But as somebody who's been pretty attached to the league pretty well since day one, how do you feel about that?
Well, I just think it's a fantastic, it's a great addition. You know, the rivalry is going to be there like another one. They're just down the highway. It's a perfect setting, nice city, a great way to attract people. The ownership looks terrific, too. I like the marketing that they've been doing. I just think it's a positive for the league. I don't see a single negative. You know, they've run down the field, of course, out there. And, you know, in the past, the Yellow Jackets, they always had good ball teams. Just fell a little bit short. They used to drive a lot of players out of Arizona at the time, and they were good ball players.
Andrew Albert's pitched for the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Albert's pretty decent, too. Yeah, so I played the majors. I think that, it's just a big plus for the league overall, and it's going to be a big plus for the fans. I can hardly wait to see that first game.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, has there been a lot of buzz that you're hearing around town about the Berries, even with everything else, all the other clutter happening in Saskatoon right now?
There has been, because everybody's talking about the Blaze right now, and that is the focus right now. As I mentioned, there's going to be, 11,000 people that are going to be there for Game 5 tonight. Another thing, I'm just going to quick note on this one, too, guys, is another big reason that a lot of people are going to the games. The 50-50 pots are getting out of control. They're getting quite large at the Blades games, and I'm sure it'll be another big one tonight for Game 5
between
the Warriors and the Blades.
100,000?
No, not there yet, but I think the last one, the winner went home with a little over 30 or something like that. So big pots. Yeah, so you got to think that people are, they got a little extra reason to go to the games with that as well. But back to the Berries. I love the Berries. At first, there were some people going, how dumb. Like my gal, even Andrew, goes, oh, the Berries, how dumb. And I said, well, hon, you don't realize, like, collegiate level teams or minor league baseball teams, I said, the goofier it kind of is, the better it works. It works for minor league baseball teams. It just works. It's fun. It's lighter. People get behind it. It's not as serious. People, the people playing still want to win as badly, but I'm just saying about the marketing and all that, it just, the lighter, the goofier it is, it does kind of work. People are getting, excited around Saskatoon as well for Ryder Camp coming here. So there's a lot of things happening right now. Baseball season just right around the corner. And our professional basketball league in the CEBL, the Saskatchewan Rattlers, getting ready to start another season, too.
Yeah.
But back to the Berries. You mentioned, too, about the Yellow Jackets and their previous identity here in Saskatoon. And I wasn't around for that when I was in Calgary then. But I did hear part of the reason was maybe the ballpark and the configuration of it wasn't quite there. But they've done a lot of work and put in a lot of money at the Gordie Howe Sports Complex. And they got that figured out. It's going to be a much better experience, a much different experience at Cairns Field for people to come watch the Berries. They're going to have beer garden things, and they're going to have just the in-game experience. There's going to be funner. They're going to have more contests. It's going to be a better setup as well. Our sister station in Saskatoon, 96.3 Cruise FM, is big with the Berries and all their promotion and marketing. So we're going to be there as a group as well. We just had a meeting about it earlier today. We're all fired up about it. I think baseball fans will be really jacked just to have it back here. It's just, as you know, Leo, being a baseball guy, nothing better on a great day to be at the ballpark. You could have a cold in your hand and a hot dog or whatever. It's just great to be at the ballpark.
Isn't that so? You know, you just enjoy the afternoon. You're walking around. There's people everywhere. You're chatting, watching the ball game. Quality baseball. Like, how many guys have come through that league and ended up in the major leagues, you know? Eldred Simmons just retired, gold glove in the major leagues. He played for the Yorkton at that time, 15 years ago. And I think I agree 100%. It's just the atmosphere of baseball. And it's such a great way to spend an afternoon, isn't it?
I think the thing that jumps out for me is we went through an era when it was cool to have these indoor parks in Major League Baseball, these concrete jungles. Yeah, it all started in the 60s with the Astrodome.
Yeah.
And then everybody wanted to have a dome. Seattle got one, Minnesota, and then the Blue Jays got one, and that was the capper. And the problem with that was Baltimore built Camden Yards 1993, 4 years after the Skydome opened, and it was totally the opposite. And everybody said, oh, this is so much better. And then all of a sudden they built the one in Cleveland just like it, and it started the trend in the other direction. Yeah. Now I feel like with climate change, these southern ballparks, maybe it had nothing to do with climate change, all these southern ballparks are now concrete jungles again. We're trending back in that direction. And in Toronto, they have a team in the Intercounty Baseball League. They're called the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you don't have to pay any admission to go. Dante DiCaria has done a lot of work in that league. Right. You don't pay any admission. Admission is free. And they just hose you on the concessions and all the rest of it.
Okay.
But their selling point is, we have real oxygen here. You can see all the sights and sounds. You don't get that. I remember we went to a Blue Jay game. I was on a family vacation. And because I hate domes. I hate them. Yeah. I hate them so much. I hate baseball indoors. And I always complain about the smell. And my wife's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then as the Skydome was opening and you could smell the fresh air, she says, I totally get what you've been talking about this whole time. Real oxygen. That's something that the Red Sox have, the Berries will have. You don't get that in Major League Baseball anymore.
It's an easy thing to market, too. Yeah. It doesn't cost you anything, right? It's an easy thing to market.
But I think that's a really good point, too. Because you know, when I think about baseball, I'm never thinking about a dome. I'm thinking about... You know, it's 25, 30 Celsius. I'm walking
sun
around.
Sun is shining.
I got my Schniegel in one hand there, walking around, shaking hands, yakking to people.
Pounding the Mad Jacks on the Access broadcast.
Yeah, you know, just enjoying the day and the quality of the baseball, too. That's, you know, it's all comes together so nicely. Like, you're going to see really good baseball besides the, you know, the crowd and the excitement. It's the baseball's great. I enjoy it.
The biggest reason that I'm excited about the Berries coming in is it's felt like for a while that there's a trend that this league is becoming the Alberta Baseball League. You know, we're adding franchise in Alberta.
That's a good point.
There's a perception, whether it's real or perceived, that the owner of the Okotoks Dogs runs the league, and what he wants, he gets, and sometimes is maybe a little bit bigger than the rest of the league, sometimes to the detriment of the teams here. I feel like if in no other way, by adding another franchise here, we're giving a little bit of pushback to that.
You know what? I do like that angle. I think you're right. I think it's very important for another Saskatchewan franchise to pop up, and Saskatoon was the obvious choice. You're right. It gives a bit of pushback. It gives more credibility to the the East Division of the league. I can't think of anything negative. And Saskatoon, great town to be in, great place to watch baseball. I'm assuming there's going to be Saskatoon Berry Pie.
Oh, I would think so.
It's
got to
be a promo. That alone is going to get
me in. If the Red Sox have that, I'm sure the Berries will.
Oh, yeah.
I would think it's there for sure. Yeah. The promotions so far for the Berries have really have started to pick up lately. Because it's owned by the Saskatoon Entertainment Group, which owns the Priestner family, which owns the Blades as well, too. They'll probably ramp it up a bit more, of course, once the Blades are done. They're hoping that won't be until they win a Memorial Cup. Knock on wood for Blades fans, not for Warriors fans, of course, but for Blades fans. But then when the Blades are done, though, the Priestner family, the Saskatoon Entertainment Group, they're going to really pick up and promotion with the Berries. Now, once again, I mentioned it is a new park. There's a lot of work done into it, a lot of money sunk into it. I think it's really going to gain momentum when they play Regina as well, too. That provincial rivalry will pick up as well, too. Another provincial rivalry is a great thing. But it'll be great for the game of baseball as well, too. I grew up playing, when I was younger, I grew up playing hockey, then baseball, until I got to high school. Then it was hockey, baseball, football. You kind of worked them all in there, too. High school football in there also. But it seemed like to me, and maybe in the last 10 years or so, and this is not necessarily a bad thing because it's a very affordable sport and it gets more kids playing out there, enjoying the outdoors, being fit, being active, right, consuming that free oxygen is great. But soccer was really, 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 and has really taken off. And that's for a number of reasons. And I think soccer is great, but I felt that baseball was kind of getting left in the dust a little bit, and I just think having Saskatoon having this team where kids can go with their family and they can see these guys and get to know them and aspire maybe to be there one day and beyond, I think it will also help baseball in our community, and which is a great thing.
You know, I'm just going to add to that point. You talk about, and I think that's a point for the league as well, the benefit of Saskatoon having all that professional marketing behind it. You know, the Regina Red Sox is all volunteers.
Right,
you know, you've got Saskatoon, you've got that money behind it, you've got the marketing behind it.
We saw it go both ways with the Riders. It was volunteers forever, and then the model shifted, and it just went whoosh to another level. So, yeah, that's a good point. The Red Sox are very well run.
Yeah.
But to your point, it's more of the...
Well, you got the money, you got the full-time staff behind it, you got the experience behind it. You know, it's not only going to pop and promote Saskatoon, that's going to spill over and promote the league. So that, I think that's another positive up right there. I can hardly wait for that as well.
It's so funny. I remember when the Priesters took over the Blades, and for the first few years, all the chatter I was hearing, and I believed it too, is what the heck is going on in Saskatoon? And we had Colin on this show like a month ago, and he talked about how first few years people thought we had no idea what we were doing, and we probably didn't. But over time, it's amazing how that's changed with the Blades. They've got the Rush, and I sense that one of the reasons they're so bullish on getting into the baseball thing is they're saying we can do a lot of the work with the staff we have already.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that just helps make it's it more
seamless,
viable,
right?
Overall. Okay.
Yeah, and it's worked. I was just going to add too, it's worked in the bigger markets as well too, because that's how it started with the. As I mentioned, I used to be in Calgary, so that's how it worked there as well too. The Calgary Flames organization started off as just owning the Calgary Flames, and then they bought the Calgary Stampeders, and then after they bought the Calgary Stampeders, they bought the Calgary Roughnecks. So you can triple market your franchises as well too, so you can get people buying season tickets to multiple teams, and you can also, with one billboard now, you can market, you know, your three teams. Obviously some billboards and some advertisements will just be for one team and what you're trying to promote, but you can triple market in a lot of ways as well too, so you can actually save money. It's a kind of a byproduct of that also.
Well, the Stampeders seem like they're declining in popularity in Calgary. I don't know
that's another
the greatest
topic, though, yes.
example. But hey, if it wasn't for the Flames' wealthy owners to cover the losses, then we might be in a different story, too. So it's worked out well. Hey, I'm going to let you go. Do you think my Canucks can do it tonight?
Yeah, I do. I'm looking forward to that. I want to see another Canadian team. I'm disappointed about Winnipeg, but, you know, Vancouver, Edmonton, let's go. And you know what? I thought Toronto was out of the picture, but hey, Game 7. Anything happens.
One can only
hope. That's right.
I don't get on that Canadian team stuff.
Let's
for Toronto.
What?
Get them
Come
out. I put a social media post every time they get eliminated by Boston.
Canadian teams, not Toronto's a Canadian team.
I have to add one more thing to this really quick. But Eric Francis from Sportsnet on earlier this week, and Eric was just saying as well, too, he's like, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Leafs fans. All they're doing is setting you up for
torture.
The ultimate heartbreak.
Yeah.
The ultimate heartbreak. Boston will tear out your souls once again, but I don't know. Maybe this is the year
that
they get past Boston. I don't know.
Not a chance.
I'm not saying they got me believing, but they got
topic
me thinking.
Too. This is what, first round?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, they got a long ways to go. I'm thinking.
They get through this, they're right back where they were last year when they came up short.
1967 is way too long.
Back when you were celebrating your 40th birthday many, many years ago. Okay, get out of here.
All right. I enjoyed this. Thanks very much.
Have a good
Thanks
one, Leo.
In.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That is Leo Mack joining us here on the Friday Sports Cage. We'll be back with more when we come back. You're listening to the Sports Cage for Nelson Holmes on Rider Radio 620 CKRM.